Well, praise the Lord. I feel the presence of God here this morning, don't you? And enjoy so much being in God's house and being in His presence. Amen. Thank you, Brother Webb, for the opportunity to be here today. I appreciate your friendship and thank you for the opportunity to speak behind this pulpit this morning. Let me just say before we get started, happy homecoming day. Amen. Love homecoming day. I've got to preach a lot of homecomings over the years. I love homecomings, usually because that means food is involved. And looking forward to it, I can smell it kind of seeping through the doors. And you that are sitting over there close to the doors, you've got to really feel a strong pull going on over there. And I know that I'm up against it this morning. I don't want to get between Brother Randy Webb and his fried chicken, that's for sure. But he's the one that asked me to preach this morning, and we've got to this point, so I'm going to try to do my best to fulfill that obligation today with the Lord's help. But we are really happy to be a part of your homecoming, and it does sort of, in a lot of ways, feel like a homecoming for us as well. Last year, We got reconnected here. It had been over 20 years since we had been here previously. And then, but back then, over 20 years, 22 years ago, we had been here on several occasions preaching revivals, a school revival, and several occasions, and got Keene Mountain down deep in our heart. And enjoyed your fellowship and your singing and your pastor's fellowship. And so last year was a kind of a reconnection for us, and preached for you the last Sunday of April. We were on our way to Martinsville for their holiness convention, and then came back in May for the graduation services here. And now to be here for homecoming, it's a special day for us. Praise God. I feel like it's a homecoming also in some ways. I have sort of a mountain connection. Some of you that have heard my testimony, you know that I was raised in California, and yet you still let me preach here, so that's a miracle. And yet I got saved in West Virginia, not too awful far from here, just up above Charleston. And got saved on a mountain up there in Charleston, West Virginia. So I have a strong mountain connection, and met the Lord in these mountains. And when I come back in this country, I feel a little bit of my heritage. And that's where my real life started. Amen. It's not so much where I was born. It was where I was born again. And I praise God for that. So we're glad to be here and look out and see a lot of friends, and really glad to see Brother and Sister Teague with us today, and appreciate their friendship, and this boy that he requested prayer for a while ago. Last time I guess we were in services together was over there in North Carolina, and your son and his girlfriend at the time were praying then. But still struggling and really need the Lord. I hope that it'll happen here tomorrow. Amen. That if they arrive, that the Lord will deal with them. We appreciate Brother and Sister Teague. We're preaching over at Richlands tonight, so we won't be in service with you tonight. But we'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to Brother Prescott, Brother Barnett, and our old friend Joey Height tomorrow night. So we get to be in those services with you tomorrow as well. Hope Brother Joey makes it, amen. And if he can't make it, I hope he'll send Sister Tricia on anyways. And I look forward to being in services with them. And I look back and I see Brother Cheek back there. We got to be with Brother Russell and those beautiful grandchildren of yours just a few weeks ago over in Oklahoma. And so I feel a lot of connection here today. And one more thing on my mind before we read the scripture, actually a couple things. I was glad to see this morning Doug Ratliff in the service today. We were in service with his folks in Indiana just a few weeks ago, and his dad told me that Doug had got back in church. And so to see him here this morning is a real, real treat. Amen. Glad he's here. Praise God. I felt your pastor pulling, pleading, pushing this morning, and you're blessed to have a pastor with an evangelistic heart. And he pushes for revival all around the country, and to hear him in his own pulpit here, pleading with you not to get too comfortable and not to get too satisfied. We are in a desperate hour, church, and we really need revival. And regardless of what your heritage is and how many homecomings like this you've attended, you need God now more than ever before. We need him in this service. We need him in this week's meeting. And just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Webb and I preached the Holiness Convention again over there at Martinsville, our second year in a row to work together over there. And after the convention, Brother Randy, revival broke out on Sunday night, and we ended up going on a few nights of revival, and it was really a mighty move of God. But I felt the Lord impress me over there at Martinsville with that scripture in James, and I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but that scripture in James that we love so much: submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. But I felt like saying to them, and twice since then, and that's only been about 3 weeks, at other churches, I've been just simply telling people, fight back. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. We need to fight back, church. We need to resist. We need to stand up against this force of hell that is trying to discourage and disrupt and depress and divide so many people. I believe we can have revival in spite of what's going on out there in the world. Can you say amen? Praise God. Well, let's press on in this morning. I'm going to read some scripture from the book of Psalms, if you want to turn there. Psalm 122 is where we'll get started. Psalm 122. And once again, thank you for allowing us to be with you in your first service of Homecoming 2014. Oh, yes, one more thing. How many of you here were out in Arizona just a few weeks ago, back in April? I know several of you went. Raise your hands if you were out there. All right, I see several of you. We didn't get to make the camp meeting out there this year. We were there last year, Brother Webb preaching the nights. But we were there just 2 weeks after you all were there. And they were all still talking about what a blessing you were to their camp meeting and how much they enjoyed you all being there, Brother Webb's preaching. And, of course, that's a different part of the country. And a lot of different challenges out way out west there. And they needed your influence. They needed your help and encouragement. So they were very appreciative of y'all making that long, long trip. Let's stand together for a reading of a couple of scriptures here this morning. Psalm 122. Psalm 122. There's a little phrase here that's part of the original scriptures. It's not just an editorial comment. But we usually start the reading of the psalm in verse 1 where it says, I was glad. You see those words? But just before that, you see this title, A Song of Degrees of David. How many of you see that? All right. A Song of Degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Praise God. A song of degrees. Let us go up, verse 1 says. And then verse 4 says, whither the tribes, verse 1 says, let us go. Verse 4 says, whither the tribes go up. Let us go up. Let us go up. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to just simply preach to you this morning with the Lord's help on going up to higher ground. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We've enjoyed all of the songs that have been sung. And the Spirit of God has touched our hearts already. But now, Lord, as we get to this preaching part of the service, we ask for an anointing and a help from you, Lord, that somebody would be helped and encouraged on their journey, strengthened and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. And everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, amen. Praise God. Moving up to higher ground. I read that title there, that introduction, A Song of Degrees, to draw your attention to the fact that this is a special psalm, and it's actually one of a small group of songs that are inside the songbook that we call the Book of Psalms. I love the Book of Psalms. There's a lot of history here besides the poetry that we get when we read these anointed songs of the Old Testament. But there's something unique about this collection of songs that are called the Songs of Degrees, 15 of them. They start in Psalm 120, if you look there, if you have your Bibles open, Psalm 120, A Song of Degrees. Psalm 121, A Song of Degrees, and so forth and so on, until you get to Psalm 134, the last of the 15, A Song of Degrees. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Amen. We don't know exactly the reason why these are called Songs of Degrees. There are several different opinions, and there's some theories about that. One of the theories is that this word degrees here is simply a musical expression to give some sort of direction to the singers and the song leaders that would be singing these songs. And if so, then the word degree means, because it talks about, because degree actually means ascent. It means to go up. It means to ascend, to go to a different level. If that is a musical instruction, then it would imply that these songs were to be up-tempo songs, not necessarily faster, but they were supposed to be sung in a way that would be upbeat, that would be encouraging. And some would think then that these 15 songs, if they were sung in the same service and they were songs of degrees going up, then the possibility is that when they started in Psalm 120, they were singing way down low, and they would move up an octave every time, getting higher and higher until they got to the crescendo, as they say, in that final psalm where they were talking about standing in the house of the Lord and blessing the Lord with hands upraised in the house of God. And so what a crescendo that is. Amen. It's a good thing to come to church. We're all glad that to see one another here today. Glad that you're here on homecoming day. But just coming to church, that's not the ultimate goal. Amen. And that's a good starting place. Sort of like singing the song on the low note. The high objective is to get into the presence of God, get our hands upraised, and to worship God with all of our heart and soul and strength this morning. Amen. Praise God. But there's another theory about these psalms, not just the musical expression here, but the history of them. There's some that believe, and I like this theory, I really do. I like the idea that these songs were sung as a part of their heritage as the people of God, and that these particular psalms were sung on special occasions as they went up to the house of the Lord, maybe for one of their feast days or special gatherings together, like the Passover feast or the Feast of Trumpets. When they would go, it was like an Old Testament camp meeting. They would come together from various places and they would stay several days and celebrate the blessings of God. And the theory is that these psalms were sung. They're small psalms. They're just a few verses each. And you can see that 7-8 verses at the most. Some of them only have 3 or 4 verses, and so they would have been easy to memorize. And some say that they sang these verses along the road as they were going up to Jerusalem, and the Psalms of Ascent, the songs for the going up, amen, going up to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem, as we see here, where we read this morning, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. And Jerusalem is built on a high hill. It's not the highest place in Israel, but it is one of the highest places. It's a high elevation. From Jerusalem, everything is downhill from there. So if you live in one of the lowland communities, one of the seaside villages, and you're making a trip to Jerusalem, it's going to be an uphill climb. It's going to be an upward direction. You're going to go from the lowlands up to the highlands to the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, to get into the presence of God may be an uphill climb, but it'll be worth the view when we get there. Amen. Praise God. And so they are going up to the presence of the Lord. And the possibility is they're singing these psalms of ascent as they go up. The songs of the going up. Praise God. I believe that God's direction has always been up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take a little vote here today. Everybody that would cooperate with me here just a moment, I want you to point to the direction that you think heaven is. All right. Amen. Some of you, whatever reason you chose not to participate, you didn't hear what I said, but it looked like the majority pointed that direction. Amen. That's the direction that I would point to. I believe heaven's up. Amen. Praise God. And I believe that God's direction is always up. And not just because heaven is out there beyond this earth somewhere, but I believe that living for the Lord is an upward life. Praise God. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Woo! Hallelujah. I know what it's like to be down there in that hole in the ground called sin. I know what it's like to be in the lowlands of the pit of sin. But I know also what it's like for the Lord to bring me up out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock and establish my goings. Praise God. Going up. Amen. This is an upward journey, my friend. I'm glad that I found this upward path, this upward trail that leads me up into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Down, on the other hand, has always been the devil's direction. What direction you think hell is? All right. The majority pointing down, amen, only makes sense because the devil's direction has always been down. He pulls you down, down into the depths of sin. And it's no coincidence in that famous story of Jonah. Oh, when he began to run from the presence of the Lord, Jonah did flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Tarshish, amen, down into the belly of the boat. When they cast him overboard, he went down into the deep blue sea, amen, down into the whale's belly. And then of his own testimony, he said that he went down to the bars of the mountains, the base of the mountains. In other words, he went down to the floor of the ocean, where at the very base of the mountains, he literally went as low as a man can go on planet Earth. Amen. But then Jonah testified that the Lord brought me up. Praise God. God. He heard my cry from the whale's belly, and he brought me up out of that low position. Listen, the devil's direction is always a downward direction. Amen. He's always going to bring you lower and take you farther away from God. Praise God. But he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he established my goings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at this just a little bit closer here in Psalm 120. If this in fact is what is meant by the songs of degrees, then you would think that if they're telling the story of a pilgrim's journey, if these are the songs for the going up, then we've got to start at the lowest place. And Psalm 120 is that first psalm of this group. He says in verse 1, Psalm 120, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Amen. In verse number 4, "Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with them that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Period. End of sentence. Sad song. Sad song. Amen. He's singing about the low life. He's talking about living down in Meshech and Kedar. David wrote this psalm, but there's really no evidence that he literally lived in either of these places. He didn't live in Meshech. He didn't live in Kedar. He is speaking as a metaphor. He's talking symbolically. Amen. The people of Meshech and Kedar are a barbarous people. They are a heathen people. Some say descendants of Ishmael, Ishmaelites. They are a violent people, nomadic. They travel around. They don't have deep roots. They have a violent heritage. And so David is comparing, amen, his life at some point as having lived down here with people with lying lips, amen, deceitful tongues, lying, cheating, deceiving, fighting. He said, "I'm for peace, but they're for war." And he gives us the impression of this low life, this low land, where he's surrounded with people lying, cheating, deceiving, the distress that goes along with it. Amen. Listen to me. Your life without the Lord is a low life. Amen. I know that it's become quite popular, or was a few years ago, to sing that song, "I've got friends in low places." Amen. I've got some friends in low places too. But listen, if all of your friends keep pulling you down to the lowest level, then they're not really your friends. Woo, y'all with me? Amen. If they keep pulling you down to the lowest level, if they keep dragging you down to this low life, amen, you need some new friends. You need a new objective. You need a new goal. Really? Is this what you want for your life? Lies and deceit and distress and fighting and backbiting and all of that? Amen. Not me. Listen, I've been there. I know what it's like. I'm glad that I found the Lord this morning. Y'all praying for me this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I never was a big fighter for obvious reasons, amen. And back before I got saved, I was barely 5'7" and barely 120 pounds. So I didn't go looking for fights. But I was raised in a rough neighborhood in Southern California, and so you gotta be strong enough to survive, and or else you get bullied all the time. And you got to be smart enough, amen, to avoid conflict if you can. But I know what it's like to get in a fight with the leader of a Mexican gang in my community. I know what it's like to, as hard as you try, to end up in scraps and scrapes and all of that. I do know what it's like to be in a place where knives are drawn and things are about to get out of control. Amen. I didn't want that, but that's the life that I was living. That was the people that I was dwelling with. Kedar and Meshach. Amen. Praise God. David is saying, even in that low life, I wanted peace. Amen. There was something in me that wanted something better than this. I wanted peace. But all around me, it's fighting, lying, cheating, and all of that. Oh, God, help us this morning. I want to tell you, even in those days, before I met Christ, I knew that there was something more than what I had been exposed to all the days of my life. Wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about God. I don't have any Pentecostal background. No holiness heritage. Amen. Didn't go to church. In fact, my entire life, I can only think of two times in my life that I went to church before I actually got saved at 19 years old. I went to a Catholic mass one time with a friend of mine, and I went to the Baptist church for Boy Scouts. Amen. That was the only time I even remember going to church. When I got to investigating my family history on both sides of the family, as far back as I can go, the only heritage that I know of religious-wise is one aunt that was a Jehovah's Witness. Amen. No Baptist, no Methodist, no, certainly no Pentecostals and no holiness. Amen. But I knew, amen, somehow down in the depth of my soul, there had to be something better than this. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I know what it's like to get caught up in that culture of drugs, and some of you have heard, you know, me tell bits and pieces of it. I was in Jamaica, West Indies. Long story how I got there. My cousin and I ended up in Jamaica buying drugs to bring back to the United States to sell. When I stumbled into a little building on the side of a hill in Jamaica, there was singing going on in there. It drew me in. I was by myself that day and I got drawn in. Amen. It was a Jamaican youth group. They were just ending their service and they invited me to church the next day. It sounded interesting to me, so I agreed to go. Amen. The next morning, I met some of those Jamaican youth. They took me up to their church way up in a valley in the hills of Jamaica. They got mountains on the island of Jamaica. You know that? So here we go again with this mountain heritage thing. Amen. I ended up in the mountains of Jamaica. In this little cinder block church, no glass in the windows. Their pews are boards stretched across cinder blocks. The house is full. It's hot. And I didn't hardly understand a word of what they were saying. Amen. The lady preacher that they had, elderly woman, she had to have been Pentecostal. I saw her going back and forth across that platform, shaking her finger in their face like that, and mine. Amen. And I was the only white face in the crowd. And I'm in this Jamaican church, and you can believe me or not, but the reality is that even though I didn't understand many words that were being said, conviction came down upon me. The Holy Ghost got to dealing with me. Amen. I got to feeling down in the depth of my soul. There is more. Amen. There's more than this life that I've been living. Praise God. Meshach and Kedar, lying and cheating and deception and fighting and messed up lives. Praise God. Listen to the next psalm. And I'm not going to read all 15 psalms, but I need to get us started on this journey here. Psalm 121, right after he describes this low life, Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't misread this psalm. Amen. He's not saying that, amen, when he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He's not saying the help comes from the hills. If that's all he means, then a weekend retreat to the mountains would be good enough for all of us. But that's not what he's talking about. He says, my help comes from the Lord. Praise God. But what does happen here is, while he's down here in these lowlands, and he begins to realize, Meshach and Kedar, this is not how I want to spend my life. He said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Praise God. I get a little higher look. I get a little elevation. And I begin to realize there's something higher. There's something better. There's something more. Than what these lowlands have to offer. But he's not quite sure how to start this journey. How he's going to make it to those highlands. And he adds in there, my help comes from the Lord. If I'm going to get out of this place, I'm going to need help. If I'm going to get to those high hills, I'm going to need help. And my help comes from the Lord. Praise God. Oh, glory. Aren't you glad for the Lord this morning? Oh, praise God. Listen, how many of you have ever found a coin on the sidewalk or on the parking lot somewhere? A quarter or a nickel or a penny? How many have ever found a dollar bill or, some kind of not as many, but we've all found coins every once in a while on the parking lot there at Walmart or whatever. Oh, my lucky day, got a quarter, amen. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll get of the opinion that since you found a quarter or two on the parking lot, that if you looked, you might be able to find more. And so they walk around, looking for coins. It just might happen to be one, laying here, going through your whole life, looking down, trying to find quarters, and nickels on the parking lot. That's a lot like some of you in the life that you've been living. You might have a little bit of fun out there in the world, but it's like looking for quarters and nickels among the cigarette butts and the empty beer cans, there's something more than that. Look up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have a little good time, a little fun out there in the world every once in a while, but it doesn't last. It's not satisfying. You know that this is not a happy life. But if you'll look up, you might be able to see that there's a better life. There's something more, a higher ground that you can get to, and the Lord will help you to get there. Praise God. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Praise God. We were preaching just a few weeks ago on our way back, on our way to Arizona. We were in West Texas. First day of revival, first morning of revival. Preached on the prodigal son. That's a wonderful homecoming message. The prodigal son. And I made the altar call. A woman come forward, young woman come forward and cried and prayed. And afterwards she said, Brother Blue, I'm the prodigal daughter. She said 3 days ago, this is just, a couple of days before the revival started. We're in West Texas, little town, Cisco, Texas. She said, just 3 days ago, I was in Miami, Florida. She said, I was running from my family, running from God. I'd got as far as you can go. She said, I had a $600 a day drug habit. Let that sink in. $600 a day drug habit. And out there in the world, trying to support that habit at a dead-end street at the end of an alley. Her life's so messed up, it doesn't look like there's any way out. But she remembered home, and she got a feeling down in her heart that if she could get back home, I think her mom or dad had told her that they were getting ready to start revival. And she felt like, if I could get back home. You know what happened? Now, Texas doesn't have hills like you got here, but to her, it looked like the high hills, and if she could get there, praise God, maybe she could come up out of these lowlands. And she prayed through, and God met her there at that altar. I'm telling you, the Lord will help you. He'll save you. He'll change your direction. He wants to bring you up out of those lowlands and get you on a higher path. Praise God. Hey, amen. Just a week before last, prayed several nights with a young man, a boy, actually, 14 years old. Amen. I saw the rivers of tears flowing down his face, 14 years old. He had just got out of maximum security juvenile jail. Amen. 14 years old, already 22 counts on his rap sheet. Amen. Fighting drugs, just messed up young man, 14 years old. Just got out of jail. Amen. But he's tired already at 14. Tired of this fighting, tired of these lying lips, tired of this deceiving, tired of Meshach. Hey man, you know what? I think I'm going to move out of Meshach. Praise God. I think I'm going to higher ground. Got in church, got saved, on an upward path. Hey man, I believe that God wants us to move on up. Hey man, praise God. Oh, glory. Hey man, I'm glad to report to you that the souls are still being saved. The people are still being changed by the grace of God. I know that there's a lot happening in the world around about us that might at times make us feel hopeless about revival, Brother Teague. Amen. But God's not through yet. And he's still saving all who would call upon his name. Amen. In January this year, we were in revival up in Indiana, Brother Dallas Lakes. Amen. It's a hard week to have revival. Snow, cold, a threat of bad weather every night, people sick, but we had revival. There was a lady in that church, Sister Antonia. She's from Nigeria. She is a learned woman. Her and her husband both, college teachers. She's the professor of linguistics at Indiana University, about 20 miles from where Brother and Sister Lake's pastor. Amen. She's a holiness woman. Got to looking for a holiness church and found them. And so that's her home church now. But this professor of linguistics works with students that come here to college from all over the world. And she brings and encourages and invites her students to come with her to church. Amen. Literally, every night I was preaching to students from Kenya. Amen. From the Sudan and from various places of the world, and many of them from Islamic background, Muslims. Amen. Praise God. Oh, to feel the Lord and anoint you to tell people that there's a better life and a higher level. Amen. Even the religious, praise God, understand that religion is not enough to satisfy. It's only a relationship with God that can satisfy. And I got to pray with some of those students around the altars, amen, night after night, as they begin to realize they might have a religious heritage. But listen, there's a family in Brother Lake's church. They were a Muslim family, husband, wife, and two beautiful daughters, Muslim family. But they converted to Christ, got saved, amen, and got filled with the Holy Ghost and pursuing holiness. Amen. You know what? There's some people that look at that religion and they realize that's a violent religion. This doesn't make sense. This violence and this terrorism and all of that associated with it. And they look at Meshach and Kedar and they say, this is not where I want to live. Amen. I want peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they lift up their eyes unto the hills, and they realize, praise God, with the help of the Lord, amen, there's a better place. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, he's still saving souls. Amen. He's still changing lives. We got a lot against us. I thought that back in my day, you know, that hippie era, that, you know, that maybe those drugs was a passing fad. And here we are. You know, they talk about evolution. If we were really evolving, don't you think we would have evolved past drugs and all of that by now? Amen. When we know the destructive powers
and the downward pull and the destruction that goes along with the life of drugs. But no, hey man, now we're back to battling heroin addiction again. God help us. Thousands every year dying now of heroin addiction in its purest form. This heroin is in that same family with addictive painkillers. Amen. And now that those pain pills have become so expensive and not as easily accessible, they're turning to the streets and going to heroin, and it is so pure and so strong. And you're looking at me, Brother Blue, this homecoming day, and you're talking about heroin? Amen. Heroin, cocaine, and meth and all of that. It's a destructive power in our world. Hey man, I dare say that there's meth houses up and down these hills right here. Hey man, in this beautiful part of Virginia. Hey man, I know where we live. It's out in the not in the big city like you would think of Chicago or St. Louis, but out there on the country roads, they take an abandoned barn and turn it into a meth lab. Friends, we're battling a lot of stuff that pulls people down. Hey man, Jesus said the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil wants to destroy your life, sir. Ma'am, the devil wants to destroy your life. Amen. This is a dangerous place down here in these lowlands. Amen. With the alcohol and drugs and immorality and the diseases that go with. This is a dangerous world. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you tired of it? Don't you want to move up to higher ground? I'm telling you, amen, it's time for you to move up to higher ground. You need to lift up your eyes. Quit looking for these nickels down here on the parking lot. Amen. And look where the real riches are. Stand with me this morning and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've ever been saved and you know what it's like, give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know where you are on your path, but if you're not back in those lowlands, you owe God some praise. Amen. Thank God that He brought you up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach on all 15 of those Psalms, but I'd recommend it to you for your personal study to see that all through those Psalms, the pilgrim, the one on his journey, amen, he has his ups and downs and has his battles even along the way. But eventually he gets to that place where he says, praise God. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing oil that flowed down Aaron's beard. And then he goes in, he said, oh, blessed are you that stand by night in the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God, eventually through the battles and the upward struggle, he comes out of the lowlands to get into the ultimate presence of God. That's my goal. Praise God. Lord, we know that you and your wisdom saw in advance all who would be here today. And I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody in this building today that is tired of the lowland living, Lord, that you would cause them to look up. Lord, I pray that they might see up at these altars a starting place for a new journey up out of Meshech. Up out of Kedar. Oh Lord, I pray that they might start singing the psalm of ascent, going up to the presence of God. Is God dealing with you today? Is God dealing with you today? Pulling on your heart, trying to make you know. There's something more.